Hi everyone, Sane Man here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Brian, and here's what he has to say. Hey Sane Man, my favorite rabbi on the internet. I have a topic on how the red pill changes one's perspective on female fictional characters in movies, shows, books, video games, etc. A lot of fictional female characters I liked, I don't even look at them the same way anymore. One example of this would be from a game called Dragon Age Origins, one of my top 5 games of all time. There's this female character that you can romance if you're playing the male Grey Warden. Her name is Morrigan. She is a mage in the game, and her personality in the game is that she's a pragmatist to the point where she seems cold-hearted and evil, and she's bitchy. The romance starts off as a friends with benefits arrangement until later in the game, after giving her a gift that is a golden mirror that has sentimental value, and then killing her post-wall demonic dragon single mother. She starts developing feelings that blossom more than friends with benefits. She stops having sex with the male warden until near the end part of the game, where she offers the chance to do a sex ritual that can save the character's life, as the soul of the archdemon will transfer to the child that is conceived to the ritual. The reason being is that the Grey Wardens are supposed to kill this demonic dragon called the Archdemon, as Grey Wardens are the only ones able to kill it. But this results in the Grey Warden dying in the process, as delivering a death blow to the Archdemon kills the Grey Warden who delivered it. The male Grey Warden can accept this offer or not, but whether or not the male Warden accepts, Morrigan will still have to be the main character's child, since the main Warden has dicked Morrigan down a lot. However, Morrigan and the Warden go their separate ways, and it's not until the DLC Witch Hunt that the main character finds Morrigan again, and you have the option to be with her again and your child, and she seems happy that your character wants to be with her. The unrealistic part of all this is how Morrigan loves the Grey Warden. To give you context, Sandman, Morrigan is raised by a single mother who's a witch, who essentially taught her that power is the most important thing, and that you can only rely on yourself. You know, typical feminist bullshittery. The point I'm trying to make is that a lot of these writers, especially around, I'd say, the 20th century to mid-2015s, generally don't really write relatively convincing female characters, since these fictional characters aren't hypergamous like real women are. Hell, in the game, you can actually get a lot of approval for gifting Morrigan with jewelry pieces. Ever since I've been red-pilled, I've noticed the trend that a lot of fictional female characters aren't written as hypergamous as their real-life counterparts. Would this be on account that a lot of these writers are unaware, or that they are aware, but they write their female characters how they want to? Anyway, Sandman, have a nice Thanksgiving in Cuckanada. Well, Brian, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. When you sent this, it wasn't Thanksgiving in Canada, because we have it a month earlier. Plus, because this country is one with a loyalist English past, our Thanksgiving was to give thanks to one of our future kings of England not dying instead of the pilgrims getting food from Indians. I'll discuss female nature and fiction in just a moment, but let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, the Men's Guide to High Conflict Divorce. Are you getting a divorce because your wife laughs at you like a horse? Then you need the Men's Guide to High Conflict Divorce. This book is like a rubber for your marriage, and protects you from many of the tricks she has hidden up her wizard sleeve vagina. Remember, you're a man, so don't let her treat you like My Little Pony. This is your prep course for divorce rape. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, now back to writing inaccurate female characters in Hollyweird Clown World Show. Morrigan is written with perfect female motivations, Brian. I think you're wrong on this one instance, but you're right about female characters in general not having female motivations. You say that Morrigan develops feelings that go beyond friends with benefits. Most women that have such arrangements want that man as a boyfriend or husband and are just pretending that they're cool with keeping it casual, until they chip away commitment out of him, hoping that he falls in love with them little by little. How is Morrigan any different than any woman that would start up a friends with benefits arrangement, hoping that the man falls in love with her, and then asks him to stay? She's lying about developing those feelings. Most likely her lust-filled feelings and desire to possess the man she's with are already there, and she's just hiding him from him. You say that she's a cold-hearted, evil, bitchy woman. That sounds pretty realistic to me. How is that not accurate? She then has the main character's baby, Chad's baby. Again, how is it any different than the legions of single mother sluts with big butts that we see out there? You mentioned that when you played the second part of the game, Morrigan is very happy that someone will take her later when she's an undesirable single mother. Again, the sexual marketplace value of single mothers falls, so they're more than likely to settle down for some guy. Her mother was also single mother as well. Sounds to me like the game developers understood female nature as well as male nature. by giving male players female approval and validation from women for gifting out jewelry pieces. Sounds like a simp training program if you ask me. Your Morgan story kind of reminds me of The Witcher for some reason. In it, there's a female character named Yennefer, and she's a sterile witch. She trades her fertility for beauty. Yup, sounds like something a woman might do, only to then freak out and try and cheat fate so she can have a child. Again, something a woman would do, which she does in the books, and I'm assuming that it's going to happen on the show as well. She seems to be written as a typical woman because she's unable to deal with the long-term consequences of her actions. But The Witcher was initially written back in the 1980s. These two examples show me that women are being written more like actual women all the time. I now believe that writing female characters with male motivations is done for the sake of men. The way most female characters have been written for most of the 80s, 90s, and beyond is that they were written like us guys, with the same motivations and logic. This shows me that either mostly male writers didn't understand female nature, or they intentionally wrote women that way so that men in society would see them as their equals. If it was done intentionally, it was done to trick men in the audience that women are motivated by the same things that drive us, and therefore a guy is more likely to get into a relationship or marriage because he sees his female partner as being exactly like him, except she's the proud owner of a cooch and boobs. But as life drags on and they live together, he realizes that she's cowardly and not his equal. But by that point in the game, he's paid for the goods through marriage or cohabitation, and he can't easily take them back to the vag store. This has been going on forever, and has worked at convincing men that women think the same way that we do. The difference is that women I see on television today not only have the minds of men, but also the physical capabilities too. That they're courageous in the face of danger and that they make rational decisions under the pressure of death and physical harm, instead of peeing and pooping themselves when in danger. The motivations are the same, but now it's gotten to the point where their physical abilities are the same as men's. But they aren't men. I remember seeing this the first time in the second Iron Man film with Black Widow, where she beats up a dozen guys without breaking a sweat. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. also showed us more physics-defying fights where a 110-pound woman would throw 250-pound guys across the room. You just know they had to use wires for that. Also, another really annoying way that female characters are being depicted in fiction is that they don't typically go through the male hero's journey. With no suffering comes no character development. Women like Rey from Star Wars are perfect to begin with. Rey also had a conflict about not knowing her parents, which could have been exploited if we learned that she was Palpatine's granddaughter and if she was conflicted because of this. But enough of the horrible sequel Star Wars trilogy, which is about to be erased like Ghostbusters 3 and the period Blood Ghouls. I also see more films where female actresses are overweight and the message to the audience is, love me the way that I am. Imagine making a film where a woman lost 50 pounds and became more attractive and did it so that she could get a man that she's always wanted. The backlash for something like that would be amazing. It'd be worth it to hire a 300-pound rascal renegade with stumpy feet to slim her down during the course of the film until she became 110 pounds, and then stole Chad's sperm from a condom and knocked herself up with a turkey baster. All the chubby chasers would be filling the seats, and the feminists too, so they could see the patriarchy slim down their idol, so they could shame her. The way that Adele made fat feminists lose their minds when their idol's cankles evaporated before their oversized eyes. But now getting back to Hollyweird writing inaccurate female characters that no one would actually want to watch on film, where women run away in a crisis situation with hysteria the way that they would in real life. If The Walking Dead television show were real, women would be hiding behind the walls and empty islands until the men got rid of all the undead. Many of them wouldn't even leave their homes. They would just sit in there quietly waiting to die of starvation instead of going out to meet the zombies until they too became zombies, anorexic ones. I saw this sort of safety-seeking behavior during the Toronto ice storm in 2013. Women just stayed indoors while men took care of everything outside. That show also depicts female leadership, which would lead to male death. In real life, men would just write off female motivation so they could survive. It all comes down to competence and courage, which women are ridden to have tons of in television. Star Trek Discovery is also laughable because women typically seek out safety and security, and they wouldn't explore the galaxy and risk their lives constantly. That's a show that depicts inaccurate female nature. At least in the first season, they had proper male supervision. But after that, it was just a few simps, and the ship was full of an estrogen fest. The only female characters I buy are from X-Men, with psychic powers like Jean Grey, or Storm that can control the weather. Their power was external, but I don't really buy Mystique because she had to get physical. She would probably impersonate people, but probably wouldn't fight them. But of course, she was the sex appeal for the film, So that's why they had her crushing men with her blue thighs. One film I remember that didn't have a well-matched couple that wasn't all that believable was Fight Club. Marla never would have gone for the narrator no matter how much he acted like Tyler Durden. Tyler Durden, played by Brad Pitt, was supposed to act the way that the narrator couldn't. But he also didn't look like Brad Pitt. Edward Norton's sexual marketplace value was a lot lower. But then again, Marla seemed to be rather ratchet and poor, so his beat-up mansion and cult following and Project Mayhem was probably more than enough for her. Another female character that everyone got pissed off at was Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones. She was likable during the show, but the last season she turned into a despot, and in the end killed everyone and destroyed everything. This is an example of how absolute power corrupts absolutely, and is a fairly accurate depiction of a woman's vengeance. Women rulers are 25 to 30% more likely to take their nations to war than the male ones. It's a realistic depiction, but no one liked the ending, including myself, because she started off on a hero's journey and then ended up becoming a tyrant too quickly. If it had taken another season or two to build up that way, then it would have been emotionally fulfilling. But they did the turn in only a few episodes. I've also been watching Foundation, and in that show, the two main female characters are written like men. Well, because they are men in the books. I don't even have a problem with that because that's what I'm used to. But I have to wonder if my taste in female fictional characters would have been a lot different if I grew up in the 1950s and 1960s, when women were portrayed as weak and cowardly on celluloid. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Brian for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that strong 100-pound women smash through cinder blocks without chipping a nail. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized. And if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45 US. And I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills. And remember, a red pill a day keeps the male characters that act scared and cowardly the way that real women in danger behave away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.